Welcome to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, presented by League Apps. League Apps is the leading youth sports management platform, providing organizations with the technology and professional development they need to run, grow, and win. On a mission to bring the benefits of sport to kids everywhere, they go beyond technology to provide leaders with professional development and relationship building, and to work with sports-based organizations to address issues of accessibility and equality. To learn more, find them at leagueapps.com or as League Apps on all of the social networks. Now, here's the host of the show, longtime soccer broadcaster and voice of United Soccer Coaches, Dean Linke.
I am Dean Linke. This is the United Soccer Coaches Podcast. It is presented by League Apps, and I can't believe it, but this entire time with all my travel, I have never got COVID until right now. Two lines positive, down for the count and out, but still had to get this podcast done. Sorry, my voice is a little shaky. And I'll admit, I'm not feeling very well, but nonetheless, we got it in, and we got three great guests. Jim Hart, who's got the Champions League rolling down in Tampa and now other parts of the country for high school soccer, and high school soccer coaches are so important to United Soccer Coaches. He kicks off the show. Then we meet William Shep Shapiro. Everybody calls him Shep. He's a great guy. He understands the value of mentors, and he was more than willing to be a mentor for the 30 under 30 program. And then speaking of 30 under 30 members, we end meeting another one of our current class of 30 under 30s. Her name is Devlin Jeter, and yes, she is a long distant relative to the great Derek Jeter of the New York Yankees. So what do we got? Well, we got James Hart kicking things off, talking high school soccer, William Shep Shapiro talking about being a mentor for the 30 under 30 programs. We got current 30 under 30 member Devlin Jeter, and we got your host Dean Linke down and out with COVID for the first time ever. Can't believe it. Let's hope I can get this out of the way and be back stronger than ever for next week's show. In the meantime, we'll kick things off with this message from our presenting sponsor, League Apps.
We bet you didn't get into this business for the back office duties. That's why we created League Apps, the industry's leading youth sports management platform, so you can spend less time with busy work and more time doing what you love. League Apps provides organizations with the technology and professional development they need to run, grow, and win. Go to leagueapps.com to learn more. League Apps is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the United Soccer Coaches Podcast. Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, presented by League Apps. Once again, here's the host of the show, Dean Linke.
Kicking off this week's United Soccer Coaches Podcast, talking about one of my favorite topics, and that's high school soccer with one of my favorite people, Jim Hart, who's done incredible things creating a Champions League. You may have heard his interview probably over a year ago. John Mayer connected me, and we've been off and rolling, and Jim's done a great job tagging me on multiple social media platforms as well. Jim, great to have you back on the United Soccer Coaches Podcast.
Thanks, Dean. It's awesome to be here. We really appreciate the attention you're giving this.
Well, you've earned it, and you're coming off a pretty big deal on Sunday where you had a forum via Zoom. I was hoping to be a part of it. Then my schedule got conflicted with all the other sports that I call. But why don't we start there? What took place Sunday? Who was on there? And we were hoping David Wilson and Perry Vanderbeck, who are two names that people are very familiar with, especially Perry Vanderbeck. No offense, David Wilson, as Perry's been around a long, long time. I think he played for the U.S. national team back in the day. But break down Sunday and then also remind us what role David and Perry played in that.
Sure. So Sunday was our first ever what we are calling our National Content Creator Network Zoom meeting. So what we've decided to do, Dean, is think of it like we're having a big ice cream social where we invite all of these people together in one place. And the point of it all is the High School Champions League. We've invited two groups of people. We call groups influencers and content creators. Content creators could be podcasters, YouTubers, Social media people, regular legacy media people, authors, bloggers. We invited them, and we also invited influencers. And when we put the word out, Dean, we got such a tremendous feedback that we could only include a few of these people as speakers. So we ended up having speakers in the meeting and sort of a silent gallery of people sort of watching and taking notes. And there'll be speakers in future meetings, some of those people. In that first meeting we just had, it was fantastic. The main influencer in the meeting was Perry Vanderbeck. As you know, Perry's our national ambassador for the High School Champions League. And Perry led off by addressing everybody and talking about what the Champions League is and how he feels about it. We also have accumulated into our influencer ranks Thomas Rongen. Thomas was at one of our meetings about a month ago, listening in and giving the coaches his feedback. Dean, I don't know if you know this, but Thomas's first two coaching jobs were high school coaching jobs in Florida, which is super cool. So Thomas really gets it. Other people in the network, Adrian Bush, the head coach of the University of Tampa, he was not in the meeting, he's going to be at a future meeting. Of course, David Wilson. In the meeting on Sunday, we had the great Terry Mickler from St. Louis, the sort of the dean of American high school coaches, over 1,000 wins, over 1,400 games. Greg Keller, the point man for St. Louis. He's the boys and girls coach at St. Dominic. Joining the St. Louis Champions League movement, Dean, has been Al Trost. Al is going to be in one of our future network meetings, as well as Ruth Harker. You may have heard that name. She was on the original U.S. Women's National Team. They call them the 85ers, a teammate of an original teammate of Michelle Akers. Ruth is. And she's also joined our movement in that St. Louis Champions League. We also had there John Walsh, who's heading up the South Florida effort. He's the head coach at St. Thomas Aquinas High School in Fort Lauderdale. And they've recently had their first Champions League draw, 24 teams, 8 groups of 3. Very exciting. He told everybody about that. There's a gentleman named Matt Pritchett out of Kansas City. He heads the Kansas City High School Coaches Association. And also as the head coach at Pembroke Hill in Kansas City. It looks like they're going to come online in 2025. They'll probably be the next organization that comes online. Right now we've got Tampa Bay, South Florida, and St. Louis, as you know. Those were the influencers. Now, the content creators that actually spoke, we're going to hopefully, as you stated, we'll have you in a future meeting. That'll be great. We also had, I don't know if you've heard of this, goals.tv, but their CEO, Jose Tellez, was there explaining to everybody what he wants to get into the Champions League big time and into high school's content creation and give a platform to podcasters and social media people on his goals.tv. He was there telling everybody what's going on. Do you know the name Dave Lang, the soccer historian out of St. Louis? He's written a couple of books. Most recently, I think his most recent book is on St. Louis City's first year. But he's kind of the go-to soccer historian of St. Louis. He was there. Podcasters, we had the Soccer Dad podcast. Those people were there. The Soccer Mom podcast is going to be in the next one. The Scuff podcast is going to be in the next one. The Concha Kings were there. Your friend Chavo was there, addressed everybody. The RBLR network, which is a local Tampa Bay network. RBLR stands for Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, Rays, but they're also going to take on the High School Champions League as one of their things that they cover. We had the Mo Football podcast, Wales Certified podcast. These people were all there. All of them talked. There's about 5 more. They all talked, and what they did was when it was their turn to speak, they basically told everybody, here's who we are. Here's where you can find us, and here's why we think the Champions League is worth covering. So it just became this real cool, more like a sales rally around the High School Champions League.
Do me a favor, reset for us the Champions League and what it is, and try to do it in a shorter version.
Sure.
Because we got a lot more questions to ask you, but just in case this is the first time anyone is hearing about the Champions League in high school soccer with you as the ringleader of this incredible Champions League, fill us in on it one more time.
Sure. It started here in Tampa in 2018 and it's spreading. The way to get in the Champions League, we base it on four principles. Number one, the Champions League is free to participate, sponsor supported. Number two, it is merit based. So you have to win something. And what you have to win is what's agreed upon by the local high school coaches. And so a standard is set, and those that pass that standard enter into the Champions League. Number three, it is coach collaboration. You know, one of the things we've had in soccer is coaches, you know, not playing nice with each other. High school coaches have to play nice with each other because they run the Champions League. And then of course, it's about empowering these students. So what happens is, based on performance in a given year, the following year, those teams that enter the Champions League schedule each other in regular season games. We have a draw to make groups, so you know who you're supposed to play. And then once you play your group games, the group winners advance to a knockout format. Here in Tampa, we advance to a semifinal and final. South Florida is going to go to a quarter, semi, and final. St. Louis is going to do a semi and final. And we just had our most recent final was at Al Lang Stadium, boys and girls final, hosted by the Rowdies. January 13th was amazing. And it's free. It's nobody owns it. And it's just catching on. It's catching on like wildfire.
I'm going to ask you to morph into two separate people, as we were hoping David Wilson and Perry Vanderbeck were going to be able to join. They, like me, have a conflict on Sunday, had a conflict today. If you're Perry Vanderbeck, and I want you to pretend you are, and you only had two sentences to tell me why you're excited to be a part of the Champions League, what would Perry Vanderbeck say?
He would say it's what we all have to do is work together to grow the game. And this is a way to grow the game in this country, involving kids who specifically maybe can't afford to play expensive club soccer, but they can play for their high school team. And there are some good players in that basket, and this is a way to give them a platform.
We've had David Wilson on before, but in case people missed that interview, what's his role and what would he say?
David is he is the president of Tampa Bay Top 10 Incorporated, which is a nonprofit 501c3 that runs the Tampa Champions League. And David is also the managing director of the Champions League in Tampa Bay. And David would say the same thing. David is very focused on everybody participates, whether you have money or not, whether you have stature or not. The only thing that matters is if you're good enough. And David makes it all work. He's the administrator of it. David has a goal of starting a Champions League showcase this coming year, a free showcase for high school kids that, again, aren't in expensive clubs, therefore aren't in some of these expensive showcases. We're going to make a showcase for them. And that's really taking up a lot of David's effort in this coming school year.
We're here with Jim Hart, a man who is so passionate about high school soccer. You've heard me say several times on this podcast what a joy it was for both my boys to play high school soccer. Even though basketball was their main game, I find them talking more about the camaraderie they created on that soccer team moving forward, even though they've been out of high school now several years. So it's really, really cool. You know, listen, you did a great job getting us caught up on the Champions League movement. And, you know, it's understandable that you have content creators and you have influencers, because it's one thing to do something when you know you've done something right, you have people that want to talk about it.
Yes. Yes. And Dean, what we heard once is we just heard one content creator interviewing another content creator from another market. And it just occurred to us, wait a minute, these guys have to have things to talk about, to the point where they're even talking to each other just to create content. And it occurred to us, why don't we bring them all together and give them the High School Champions League to talk about and provide them influencers that are people that they might be interested in interviewing? So if you're a podcast and you're trying to get traction, what better guest to have on your show than a Perry Vanderbeck or a Thomas Rongen? And then what better topic than this interesting new idea of this High School Champions League that seems to be making traction in these different markets. So, so that's it. That's the idea.
Well, you may have just answered the question with that answer, but I'm going to, you know, repetitious information. What is around the corner in the near term for the Champions League movement, Jim?
So the next thing up is the Girls Champions League draw in St. Louis. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. Then after that, it will be the Boys Champions League in St. Louis in the fall of 2024, the opening of that. They've got big plans, very exciting thing that's coming. That'll be followed by the Tampa Bay Boys and Girls Champions League in the winter. And then the ice, and that also the South Florida Champions League in winter 2024, starting in November. And then on December 30 or 21st, Dean, December 21st, 2024, mark your calendar, the I-75 Super Cup. The winner of the South Florida Champions League is going to travel up I-75 to play the winner of the Tampa Bay Champions League, hosted by the Tampa Bay Rowdies at Al Lang Stadium.
If people want to learn more about particularly what you're doing in the Tampa area as it relates to the Champions League, is there a website or social media or anywhere they can go, Jim Hart?
Yes, probably the best place would be the X accounts of both the St. Louis Champions League and the Tampa Bay Champions League. So Tampa Bay Top 10 is the X account for Tampa Bay, and the St. Louis one is STL Champs League. And really, those are the kind of the ground zeros right now. Nobody has a website yet. Tampa Bay Top 10 also has a Facebook page, but there's more immediate information is posted on those X accounts. That probably is the best place to find things.
Finally, Jim Hart, you're not doing this for yourself. You're doing this to create incredible opportunities for young men and women, as well as their coaching staff and the high schools that come and support these athletes as well. Why, Jim Hart, has this been such an important part of who you are today?
As you know, Dean, I'm retired, so I'm on Social Security and pension. I don't need money. I don't want money from soccer. I didn't get that. That happened already. But I'm seeing this movement in soccer away from high school soccer and toward pay-to-play club soccer. So, okay, that's fine. But there are kids that rely on high school soccer and maybe can't afford to get on that train going in another direction with the pay to play. And we're focused on that. We're talking, that's our driving motivator. And Perry's drawn in because he sees this as a way to grow the game. And ultimately, all of us want to hold hands with the clubs, develop players, and watch the US lift a World Cup. That's where we're really all trying to get to. And we want everyone to have a chance to be a part of that.
Last thing, you're here because United Soccer Coaches has made it apparent that they care about the high school coaches, knowing that they do care about the high school coaches enough to have you on not once, but twice and several more times in the future. How does that make you feel about the association, Jim?
Fantastic. And John Mayer, as you know, is such an important part of this. John is one of these guys that works in the background, and he talks to me about the United Soccer Coaches' involvement in high school soccer. We talk about that all the time. So it makes me super proud that I'm on here with you, Dean, and that you guys are paying attention to us. High school guys don't need much. A little bit of attention goes a long way.
Well, you're certainly creating attention through the Champions League with content creators and influencers, and you're putting them out front on these incredible Zooms. I hope to be on one down the road as well. Jim Hart, kicking our show off with high school soccer and the Champions League. You're welcome anytime, Jim Hart. Thank you so much for kicking off this week's United Soccer Coaches podcast.
Thanks. And on behalf of all the high school coaches, Dean, thank you.
Thank you, Jim Hart. And Jim was kind enough to reach out after the interview to say that he forgot to mention Select Sport America's sponsorship of the Champions League. Every Champion League team in each market gets special customized balls with a new bag to carry them. They are into the National Champions League movement for more than $75,000 worth of retail equipment distributed to Champions League teams. Tim McAvoy of Select was one of our influencers at the meeting. Jim also added that content creator national Zoom calls happen every 2 months, the first Sunday of the even numbered months at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Coaches National Zoom call hosted by Perry Vanderbeck happens the first Sunday of every odd-numbered month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. People can find more info about the Champions League movement by going to @TampaBayTop10 on Twitter or X, @STLChampsLeague on Twitter or X, and the Tampa Bay Top 10 Facebook page. Don't forget, you can also learn more by going to @MSCCamp at X. Got it in there for you, Jim. Thank you. And speaking of thank yous, delighted to meet Chef William Shapiro, who is a mentor for the amazing United Soccer Coaches 30 Under 30 program. Chef's up next after this message.
As a soccer coach, you're no stranger to developing your players. But how are you developing your own expertise? As a United Soccer Coaches member, you receive access to a range of resources, like our online learning platform, The Training Ground, to aid in the growth and enhancement of your coaching skills and career. From coaching education courses to lifestyle services, take advantage of new opportunities and member benefits with an annual United Soccer Coaches membership for just $125. Join the home of all coaches today at unitedsoccercoaches.org.
Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches podcast. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll meet another member of our 30 under 30 class, Devlin Jeter, who, by the way, will admit that she is related to Derek Jeter. That's pretty cool. Being part of the 30 under 30 class is one thing, but you have to have mentors that support it, and that's also another thing. And we've been starting to integrate some of the mentors into the United Soccer Coaches podcast. That's what we're going to do now as we visit with a man they call Shep, William Shapiro, director of coaching with Union City High School in New Jersey. He's been involved with United Soccer Coaches and the high school coaches community and coaching education as he assists with bringing courses to his urban community to continue to help underserved areas. He's completed quite the list of education from United Soccer Coaches. In fact, I think 22 diplomas and or certificates or something like that. Is that true, Shep? Like that many?
It's actually since I've completed the application for the mentorship program, I got a few more. So I have to add to that list, unfortunately, actually. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, one of the things that they're looking for right away when they try to find mentors is to know from you, what is one thing you know now that you wish you knew when you first started coaching, Shep? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, my first experience with coaching was back in 2003. I had just come out of college. My college team had just won like a conference title. I thought I had everything figured out. And then I came in to coach a high school girls team and very quickly realized I had no idea what I was doing. It was, you know, like all of a sudden, like all those things that I think coaches do behind the scenes that players aren't really cognizant of all of a sudden came crashing to the forefront for me. So things like making sure, you know, bus schedules and directions and addresses and what are we going to do if it's raining? Like just everything as a player, I think you kind of get into the habit of just kind of showing up and the coaches have a plan, or at least that's been my experiences. And then all of a sudden I was responsible for all those decisions. And so it was getting thrown in the deep end of the pool right off the bat. But I think it was a great experience for me, to be honest.
In your own words, what makes a good mentor, Shep?
I mean, for me, I think you have to start with like the why, whatever you're working on. If it's a project, if it's part of the 30 under 30, I mean, I'm a public school teacher, so I mentor younger teachers in the school system I work in as well. So for me, I always like to start with the why, like why are we here? What are we doing? And then just helping whoever I'm helping just get to where they need to go. You know, I look at mentorship really as a partnership, right? Like I know some people have different views on mentorship, but for me, it's a partnership. Like how can I work with you to help you get where we need to go, basically?
I want to hear the full Shep story. So where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to college? Give me the different stops along the way. Can you do that for me?
Absolutely. So I was born in North Bergen, New Jersey, and grew up for the first 5 years of my life here in the same city I now live and teach in. When I was about 5 years old, though, my parents, who were both teachers, my mom got a teaching job up in North Jersey, up in a small town called Vernon, New Jersey, which really the claim to fame is There's a water park slash ski resort known as Action Park or Mountain Creek that some people have heard of. Grew up most of my childhood up there, loved it, you know, quiet town, not necessarily suburbs, not a farm, but it was a lot more different than an urban environment I'm in now. When I got into, I want to say my junior year of high school, my old soccer captain from high school, he had gone to this little school up in Rhode Island called Salve Regina University, right in Newport. And his name was Sergio Gonzalez. And I looked up to him a lot in high school. He was like a three-sport athlete and a captain of like everything. And just, you know, when he came back and was talking about his college experience, it sounded pretty good. All of a sudden, I got like, you know, the bug to try to check it out. And he invited me up for a weekend and went up to Newport, Rhode Island, which if you've never been or anyone's never been, it's an absolutely like gorgeous place to go to college. It's all like old converted mansions that they've turned into a campus. Played soccer there, was pretty active in the theater department there, the education department and stuff like that. Loved it. Graduated in 2003. And then, like I said, immediately got hired in Union City, New Jersey, where I'm at now. Started coaching right away, a girls program. And then did that for 3 years. Got an opportunity to coach at a local college, like as an assistant. Did that for a couple of years. Came back and took over a boys program. And then back in 2008, 2009, the city I'm in now, Union City, used to have two high schools, and they decided to consolidate and build a brand new school, brand new program, and everything. So then I took over as the head boys coach in 2009 for the whole city, from 2009 to 2018, which was again a great experience, like building something from the ground up, like being a part of like the first, you know, group of coaches to help sort of build the program up. In 2018, my wife got an incredible job promotion, which was awesome. But it meant I had to step away from coaching full time because I have two younger daughters. And so had to pick them up after school and help them with homework. And it was like the easiest, tough decision ever, right? Because obviously I was sad to walk away from coaching. But it was really cool to sort of be able to spend a lot more time with my kids, right? I think most coaches know you sacrifice a lot of time being on the road, you know, training sessions, games, film, whatever it is. So all of a sudden I got to kind of step back. But then the weirdest thing was like the pandemic hit, and then my wife was working from home, my kids were like learning from home, and then we still had sports and obviously with all the protocols and everything, 2019, 2020. So I was lucky enough where I could kind of still go in and help and volunteer a couple of days a week. I described myself as like the fun uncle. I got to go in and kind of coach and have some fun and not have to worry about a lot of the stuff that like the head coach deals with a lot of the time, like paperwork and all that logistical nightmare stuff, you know. And then decided to get pretty heavy into to coaching education. I knew I wanted to go back into coaching eventually, like full time. I'm probably about another year, 2 years out from like taking over a team or a program again, or at least starting to look for one. And then in the last 5 years, I've just sort of dedicated myself to, I got my master's from Ohio University. So I think you and I are both Bobcat alums, I believe. I did a ton of US soccer courses, United Soccer courses. This past December, I got to go over to Scotland and complete my UEFA C license as part of the Master Coach and Soccer Leader Diploma run through University of Delaware and United Soccer Coaches. And right now, I'm just, you know, helping to bring in some, as the director of coaching for Union City, I'm looking to bring in coaching courses and stuff for a lot of the coaches that are here in the city who don't have an opportunity, or it's a little harder to get out to, you know, Virginia for like a premier diploma or something like that, which can be a challenge trying to, you know, bring that here for my coaches so it's a lot closer to home.
Shep, you have an outstanding background. Thank you so much for sharing it. You know, obviously, to be a mentor, you need to understand the importance of having mentors. Who are some mentors that have helped shape you, Shep?
It sounds strange, but like, although soccer coaching really massively affects my life, the two I think that really immediately spring to mind from the earliest part of my childhood were my high school wrestling coach and my high school theater teacher. And I know that might sound a bit strange, but those two had a lot of impact on, especially looking back now, like how I approach working with kids. because they both maintained incredibly like high standards, like working with whoever they were working with. But we're also incredibly empathetic and like really were, I think, probably some of the best communicators I've ever seen, like in education, whether it was coaching or classroom teaching. So I think them first. And then as the years have gone by, I've sort of been lucky enough to sort of fall into the gravitational pull of some pretty massive soccer coach education giants in this country, like Dr. David Carr, who I know has been a frequent guest of the podcast, or Ian Barker, some people that I don't know, whatever you want to call it, Irish luck. I don't know, but I just happen to fall into the pathways of some of these people who have been incredibly generous with their time and answering questions. No matter how many ridiculously annoying questions I ask, they continue to answer me and point me in the right direction. So those are probably some of the few that stand out for me.
When you got the call to be a mentor, perhaps specifically for the 30 under 30 program, what do you remember about that call? And what do you remember about your response?
I remember being incredibly proud because I remember specifically applying and looking at sort of like the numbers of it. I'm very much a realist. And so, all right, they're only going to pick 15 mentors from the country, right? And so, you know, applied, you know, this would be, you know, something cool to get, but really didn't put a lot of, I wasn't betting on getting selected. And then when I got it, I felt incredibly proud, but then also a massive sense of responsibility, right? Because again, like there's a lot of work that goes into the 30 under 30 program, the meetings, the working on the project, presenting at Chicago next year. And then finally, I think the excitement. I love working with coaches, especially like expanding my network. You know, so I've gotten to get to know some of these, the other mentors that I'm working with, and then the mentees who I never would have gotten to know without this program, right? So I'm incredibly like grateful and thankful that, you know, I get to be a part of it. And, you know, with every meeting, with every text message that we send through, with each Zoom call and stuff like that, just getting to know and collaborate with some of these people has just been extraordinary. And it's just been such a great opportunity for me. I really can't, you know, say how thankful I am to be a part of it.
Great to spend time with William Shapiro. Everybody calls him Shap. I like that. And what a great nickname, Shap. And, you know, as you're starting into this as a mentor, one of the things that I think would excite you is to see what happens to the youngsters that you're mentoring that are part of this 30 under 30 program, not tomorrow, but maybe 10 years from now, where you, Shap, can say, hey, I helped him or her along the way.
Absolutely. I mean, bizarrely, I have a perfect example, not the only one, certainly by any means. Like the group of mentees that we're working with are incredibly extraordinary individuals. But we had a Zoom meeting the other night, and one of the mentees sent me a text message, very apologetic. Her name is Sarah Buckley. I don't know if you've had her on the pod yet, but she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I can't make the Zoom meeting. I'll be in Germany helping coach the under 20 national team. And I don't know if there is a more perfect excuse to miss a Zoom meeting. Like, I don't know if I've ever heard one like, I was like, yeah, no, that, yeah, no, completely. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. Not a problem. And again, like, that's sort of crazy is that, you know, just like you were saying, like, you know, obviously these mentees, they're just starting, or not, I shouldn't say just starting, but they're at the beginning of their coaching careers. And so to see where some of these individuals go, and they're all incredibly talented, they're all incredibly bright and energetic, and it's been such a joy to work with them so far. But yeah, no, you're right. To think about where some of these coaches are going, and then to be able to say like, yeah, I worked with them. I would never claim like, oh, I did this or did that for them. But just the sheer knowledge that I worked with them, and, you know, can text them if I'm ever in Germany and I need to see the under 20s play, I can text Sarah and just say, hey, Sarah, can I get a ticket? You know, and I should be hopefully fingers crossed all set.
Yeah. As the mentor, you better get one for sure. You know, listen, you're clearly stuck in with United Soccer Coaches, and the fact that you have all those diplomas, the fact that you also did the Ohio U thing, and I love that you mentioned that. I'm a Bobcat. Thanks for doing that, Shap. There you go, my man. I love it. Go Bobcats. Is awesome. So when you hear those three words, Shap, United Soccer Coaches, what do those three words mean to you, sir?
I think it's hard to try to define the organization simply because it does a lot. But for me, if I had to, I would say I'm always blown away by the collaborative factor of the organization, right? Like the idea that you know, the willingness, whether you're at the convention or you're at the course or just even reading some of the online materials, just how well the organization does in promoting the opportunity for coaches to work together. Like I said before, like, had I not been part of this program, I wouldn't have met the people that I've met so far. And that's just one example out of countless examples of how the organization, I think, connects coaches from around the world and allows them to get to know each other. And we're just building the sport and coaching education, something I'm very passionate about. And I think it's a pretty incredible organization to be a part of because it allows coaches to work with others, but also work on themselves. And for me, that's something that's incredibly important.
Last question for Shap, AKA William Shapiro, who's also the director of coaching with Union City High School in New Jersey. And it's a fill in the blank, and it just goes like this. My name is William Shapiro. Most people call me Shap, and I'm proud to be a mentor for the United Soccer Coaches 30 under 30 class because...
Oh man, that's such a good question. I think probably what I would say is why I'm most proud is because I get to work on something that I think leaves a legacy. You know, the coaches that are working in my group and in other groups, I know, put a lot of pride and time and sacrifice and energy and effort. And it's something that becomes a part of the organization that gets presented at a convention that'll have, you know, over 10,000 people go, I'm sure, to Chicago. And to be able to say that I was a part of that, that I got to present at that, you know, not a lot of people have that opportunity, and I'm super blessed, and I know how lucky I am to be a part of it. So I think that's the best answer I can give you about why I'm so psyched to be part of the mentorship program.
That's a good answer. And I can tell you that if I was a youngster in the 30 under 30 program, I feel like I would have a blast with you as my mentor, Shap. You carry yourself so well. This has been an outstanding interview. William Shapiro, who's a 30 under 30 mentor. They call him Shap. Shap, hey, thanks so much for being on this week's United Soccer Coaches podcast.
Thanks, Dean. I appreciate it.
My main man, Shap, a mentor to the amazing United Soccer Coaches 30 under 30 program, including Devlin Jeter, who's a part of this current 30 under 30 class. Devlin Jeter, yes, she is a long distance relative to the great New York Yankee, Derek Jeter. We meet Devlin after these messages.
Does it feel like all you're doing to manage your team, club, or league is busy work? If so, League Apps can help you get back to doing what you love, delivering a powerful yet simple youth sports management platform. From robust registration and payment tools to automated communications and other software integrations, League Apps saves you time and headaches. Less busy work, more time doing what you love. Go to leagueapps.com to learn more. League Apps is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the United Soccer Coaches podcast.
Welcome back to the United Soccer Coaches podcast. The favorite part of the show for me is meeting another member of our esteemed 30 under 30 class. That's no different today as we have Devlin Jeter on. She's the current director of girls for the International Prospect Academy. We'll learn a little bit more about what that is. She played at the University of Portland, which has produced too many superstars to count, as well as professionally in Scotland and Australia. Devlin Jeter, welcome to the United Soccer Coaches podcast.
Thank you for having me. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, we're super excited to have you. First off, when you learned about the 30 under 30 program, could you put into words why you definitely wanted to be a part of this esteemed class?
I've always wanted to be a collegiate coach at the highest level. So ultimately running my own Division I program one day, I'm just constantly looking for ways to kind of up my resume and make it look better, to be able to connect with other coaches that are doing or are trying to do what I'm trying to do. It just seems super exciting and like a good opportunity.
We're here with Devlin Jeter. As I mentioned, she's the current director of girls for the International Prospect Academy. And I want to get to that specifically, what that is. But I want to know, Devlin, everything you did prior to that. So if you can, tell me where you grew up, where you went to high school, if you went to college, did you play, and did you coach before you arrived at International Prospect Academy? In short, give me your story.
Well, I'm originally from Sacramento, California. I grew up and played there. I went to high school at Rosemont High School. One of my brothers currently goes there, plays baseball. After that, I graduated, played at the University of Portland for 4 years, graduated from there, thought I was going to be done. I had some pretty bad Achilles injuries, which I later found out both of my Achilles were partially torn for the last 2 years of my collegiate career. Played a little bit of semi-pro ball in the summer for California Storm. And at the time, they were called Fresno Freeze. Decided I couldn't give it up. So had surgery on both my Achilles, rehabbed, and then went overseas and played in Australia. I was there for a little bit, and then I tore my ACL. So came back to America, had surgery, rehabbed, decided I wasn't done, went over to Scotland, played professionally, was getting my master's degree, and was coaching collegially on the men's side. And then COVID hit. Kind of forced me to come back to the U.S. From there, I just ramped up my collegiate coaching career, started at Westcliff University, went from there to Portland Community College, from there to Quincy University, and now Chicago State University. So, and IPA fell in there a couple years ago.
So you are presently on the staff at Chicago State?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, they didn't include that on here. What's your title at Chicago State?
Assistant coach for the women's side.
Wow, congratulations. So you'll be moving to Chicago from where? From St. Louis or?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what will that do with your role with International Prospect Academy? Will you have to cut ties with that and move on or no? Okay.
Nope. Yep. I can stay with them. Pretty much wherever I go, I'm stuck with them, which is a good thing, but it allows me the flexibility to move and do what I want and go where I want to go and still be involved and things like that with them. So
I'll have to admit, I don't know exactly what the International Prospect Academy is. First off, if you have a website, plug it and then tell me what it's all about, how long it's been around, what is its main focus?
So the website is internationalprospectacademy.com. Basically, it was started by two of my old club coaches from when I was a youth player. We're called an academy, but we're not a soccer club. Essentially, what we do is we are a group made up of, I think there's five or six of us. We go out to different tournaments and recruit and things like that. And we look for the better players, the best players, right? So then after that, we invite them into a training camp at the Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista, California. And from there, they're playing with players from all over the country to kind of showcase their skill. So they're now playing with the best of the best, right? A lot of them are used to being the better player on their team, and now they have to come in and kind of show where they are within all of the players that are the best of their teams. From there, if we think that they're up to par and have what it takes, we'll invite them on an international trip. So we're partnered with a lot of different professional clubs overseas. So I go to Spain a lot. I go to Villarreal a lot. I go to Portugal a lot. We're with Sporting. We just started going to Germany this last year. We'll be going to Austria this year. And what we do is we go overseas for a week. They're trained by the coaches of those professional clubs' academies, the coaches of their age group, and then we'll play against their academies. And I've had some players, especially on my girl side, Sporting loves them, so they'll get invited to come out a week before and train with Sporting or stay a week after and train with their team. It's really good for me, at least on the girl side. It's an opportunity for them to get film for college, things that will help them stand out that a lot of other players in the U.S. that are trying to do what they do, just film that they don't have. I've been able to help a lot of players be placed into schools because of their film and things like that. And I've also been able to recruit players of my own from there as well. It's been good. I really enjoy it. It's definitely something I wish was around when I was playing.
You can learn more by going to internationalprospectacademy.com. When you made the decision to go to the University of Portland, where were you living and who was the coach that convinced you to go and join the Pilots?
At the time, I was still in Sacramento. My top three schools were University of Portland, Stanford, and Santa Clara. I think all three schools are amazing. I think they're great. I just think at the end of the day, University of Portland at the time, it fit what I was looking for in a school. I'm one of six. I'm the oldest of six kids. So I'm used to a big family. That feeling of I needed that home away from home feeling, which sounds so cliche, but a lot of people listening understand that. And when I went and visited UP, it was just kind of, it had that perfect fit for me. It was a smaller school, didn't have a football team, which at the time I was all for. The team was amazing. And so the coach at the time, his name was Garrett Smith. He was the head coach. I really liked him. I liked Lisa. She was my assistant coach. She was also one of my coaches for ODP, which made making that decision a lot easier because I already knew who she was. And I had some friends from ODP that were already going there. So overall, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed my time there. I learned a lot. And I think a lot of my coaching perspective and background has to do with my time at UP.
Well, obviously, you and I are from two different eras, but I was around when Clive Charles was at Portland and Christine Sinclair was doing her thing and the Rapinos and Tiffany Milbritt, I think. I mean, just so many. Didn't Tiffany Milbritt go to Portland too? Do I have that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you familiar with any of those players when you were going through that process or not?
I was actually not as much as I was as soon as I got there. Actually, Stephanie Cox, Stephanie Lopez, she is from Elk Grove, which is the city where I played club. And Megan Rapinoe and Rachel Rapinoe both played club in Elk Grove as well for a coach that I would guest play for all the time. So I think I had a couple of people in my ear before I even started the recruiting process. It was funny. I had actually gone and toured UP when I was in Oregon for a tournament. And I was just like, Mom, this is too small. I'm not going to school here. I don't know why we're here. And she was like, just be quiet. Like, just finish the tour. And then like 2 years later, I was like, I think I'm going to go to UP. So it's funny how it came around, but yeah.
We're here with Devlin Jeter, a member of the 30 under 30 class. Before we get into some of the questions you were asked and answered so eloquently as part of your application, I want to go back to your elevator speech. An Achilles, an ACL. What is your message to not only coaches, but athletes that listen to this show on how to overcome those injuries? Are you know, more and more prevalent, particularly in the women's game. What's your message to them on how to overcome those kind of injuries, Dev?
I think when you want something bad enough, there's really nothing that'll stop you from trying to achieve that thing. And I think that was it for me, just trying to prove to myself that I was good enough and I had what it takes. There were definitely times where I wanted to quit and I wanted to give up. And I think I did for maybe a day. And then I just looked at myself and I was like, what are you doing? Like, you love this game more than anything. So if there's something that you really want, there's really nothing that you won't do to get it. So my message would be just don't give up. If it's something that you've had your mind set on and something that you absolutely feel you need to go for, then you got to go through the hard times to grow. So I went through a lot of them, but.
Yeah, amen. We're here with Devlin Jeter, another member of our 30 under 30 class. And Devlin, you mentioned that you have five siblings and a mom and dad. I like names. Can you drop their names so we can give them a shout out?
Yeah, my parents' names are Ron and Angela. Then I have Alyssa, Logan, Keelan, Braden, and Ashlyn.
Are they or were they athletes like you or coming up being athletes? What's the word on them?
All my brothers are athletes. My youngest sister, she's actually only six. she will be a little athlete herself. So I'm from mainly a family of baseballers, go figure. I think Braden will be a soccer player, so I'm pretty excited about that.
All right, Devlin. And, you know, we already asked about your ambition to apply for this 30 under 30 class. When were you first exposed to United Soccer Coaches and what's your take on United Soccer Coaches, Devlin?
I was first exposed probably 2 or 3 years ago when I first started getting into the collegiate coaching system. I didn't know much about it at the time. It seems like a really good community. It's got a great group of coaches. I think being able to connect and vibe with people that are trying to do or are doing what you are trying to do, it makes it a lot easier. It gives you people to turn to when you have questions. What we do is not your typical 9-to-5 job. It's constant and it's all year. And, you know, for a lot of people, that could be a struggle. And I think just being able to connect with people that love the game as much as you do and want it to succeed. And it's awesome to have people to be able to go to. Maybe if they don't have the answers, they might have someone within the program that has the answers. So now you're connected to another person. So yeah, overall, it's just awesome.
That's really well said. You know, we talk a lot about mentors and memories on this show. Do you have a few mentors that you want to mention that helped make Devlin Jeter who Devlin Jeter is along the way?
Yeah, for sure. My first one would be Lonnie Richardson. He was the creator of International Prospect Academy, coached me from like 16 to honestly now. He's always been in my corner. He's always been in my ear. Coaching overseas, especially as a female, it has its challenges for sure. And so to have someone like Lonnie, he's always advocated for me with other coaches, with other programs. I definitely couldn't be where I am today without him, where I plan on going in the future. So definitely Lonnie. My mom, for sure, she doesn't know anything about soccer, but my mom was a really good softball player. She understands the commitment it takes to being an elite athlete. And then, you know, even being a coach to a degree. She coaches my brother, my 9-year-old brother in soccer. So she thinks she knows, but, you know, just having her backing me constantly and telling me to continue to chase and achieve and do all the things that I want to do. She's made it easier, I think. She's made me not lose sight on the things that I want in my life. So those two, my family, everybody. Been great.
You're at Chicago State now. Who's the coach at Chicago State? And just walk me through that process of how he or she reached out to you and how you made the decision to decide you're going to move to ostensibly the Midwest in Chicago.
So the current coach is Josh Reyes. I'm a part of this group within United Soccer Coaches called the Black Soccer Coaches, which is an even more awesome community. He sent a message out saying that he was looking for an assistant coach. I messaged him back. I sent him my resume. And I think within a couple of days, we were on the phone. We had a really good conversation. It was almost 2 hours long. Just got a feeler out, pretty much found out we were on the same page with what we want within a program, you know, where we want a program to go, the different core values that we appreciate. And everything just seemed to click. It made sense. The next week, I was on the phone with the AD. I had an interview with her, which was about 30 minutes. And then a couple of days later, I got the offer and here I go.
I have a place in Chicago. I'm in Chicago a lot for the Big Ten Network. And what I wouldn't mind doing maybe is coming out to a practice at some point in the fall, since I live right there, and checking things out. Would I be allowed to do that?
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd love that. I'm sure Josh would too.
Okay, awesome. As we're here with Devlin Jeter, you know, Devlin, I have been lucky. You know, I've been around a long time, but I was with the women in 91 when they won the World Cup, the 92 Olympics, 94 World Cup, director of communications for MLS. But really, the last almost 2 years, where my heart has been is with Nicole Hercules and the Black Soccer Coaches community. I always knew that Nicole was somebody who had a different spirit in her heart. But a couple years ago in Philadelphia, and my wife came into town, her brother lives there, and it's Saturday night, and I'm like, I got to get to the Black Soccer Coaches social. And I don't know what, it was God just pulling at me and got me there. And then, you know, this whole year I've dedicated, I mean, over a year now. I mean, we've gone over a year where on this show, we have not had 1 week where we didn't have a person of color, whether a coach or an athlete, on the show. And so the fact that you're a part of that amazing community, you know better than others how powerful Nicole and Andrew and Maya and Mario and that whole gang is. It's a special, special group.
Yeah, absolutely. They're definitely helping break barriers and take down walls that I think, you know, have been up for a while. And just to have people advocating for those things, it's awesome. It's giving younger coaches like myself the opportunity and the chance to kind of go after the things that we've always wanted. So yeah, I'm super appreciative of the group, Nicole and Mario and Maya and all of them. So I've really enjoyed being a part of them and constantly getting their little group me messages and things like that. So
yeah, they'll be super excited that you're on this week's show. And I was super excited out in Anaheim. They gave me the Ally Award, which, you know, I'm not doing this for awards or anything, but I certainly appreciated it because, you know, this time has been special for me to meet people like you along the way. So I wanted to share that. And more importantly, as you look at the U.S. men's national team and even the U.S. women's national team, the stars are Black and they're killing it, right? They're amazing. And so if that's the case, we need more people that look like them coaching them. That's my opinion. How do you feel about that?
I'm actually really excited. That's one of the reasons why I'm super excited to go to Chicago. They are a PBI school, so predominantly Black institution, which is nothing like I've ever coached before. And I think that, you know, when I first decided I wanted to be a collegiate coach, it was because I feel like female players, especially at the highest level, need to be coached by female coaches. And so to get the chance to coach players that look like myself, to show them like, you can do this. This is a place where you can be. It feels right. I also didn't grow up playing with very many females that looked like myself. So it's an exciting time. I'm excited to see it kind of change and the game change and it be more inclusive. I'm really excited.
Well, great to learn that our 30 under 30 spotlight, Devlin Jeter, is part of the Black Soccer Coaches community. She just got named to the Chicago State coaching staff. So I hope to see her in what is my second home in Chicago for sure. I've got to end with this question because I ask all of the 30 under 30 members, and that is kind of a crystal ball question. You know, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And, you know, Devlin, if you just are one of those people that take day by day, that's okay too. But I've asked every 30 under 30 member that question. So I'm interested in your take.
I'm definitely taking it day by day right now, especially this week. You know, in 10 years, my ultimate goal has always been to head my own Division I program. And so in 10 years, if I'm not doing that, then I don't know what I'm doing. That would really be it for me. It's to create a program, you know, and honestly, anywhere. I'm not picky. I'm from California, but I haven't lived there in 12 years. I've been all over the place. So really anywhere that feels like a good fit. You know, I'd love to be the next Dawn Staley, but that could take some time.
Such an impressive woman. So impressive. Right?
Yeah, she's amazing. She gives me hope. So just heading my own program, a place where all players feel welcome, regardless of how they look, how they identify, anything like that. But as a program, I want to create a program where the players that leave it are proud to say that that's where they played. And they have nothing but good things. And to help transform these kids into respectful, responsible adults. That's my ultimate goal. So hopefully in 10 years, that's what I'll be doing.
All right. Awesome. Last question. And I'd love it if you could answer this in just one sentence, although I'm sure you could keep on going. It'll be a fill in the blank. It goes like this. My name's Devlin Jeter, now the assistant coach at Chicago State, and I'm proud to be a member of the United Soccer Coaches 30 Under 30 class because
I am surrounded by so many like-minded individuals who are finding new ways to challenge and push me every day.
Great answer. I was going to try to get off this podcast without asking the question, how often you see Derek Jeter, but I just can't help myself. You said there might be a little bit of relation there, right?
Yeah. So he is my mom's second cousin.
Wow.
So he's kind of close, but not that close. But when he was playing, my brother Logan at the time, he had like a school assignment where they had to write a letter to a company. And my brother wrote a letter to the Yankees organization, and Derek sent him balls and gloves and autographed event things. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
Beyond pretty cool. And it's pretty cool that you're off to your new adventure with Chicago State. And I certainly think it helps that you are a member of the 30 under 30 class. I love that you're involved with the Black Soccer Coaches community. I really like all your takes, Devlin. You're in the right position, because you're going to make, you know, young women, young men, whoever you're around, you're going to make them better and stronger. Great to meet you, Devlin Jeter, and thanks for being on this week's United Soccer Coaches Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was super great opportunity.
Devlin Jeter, part of our 30 under 30 class. She was outstanding. Want to thank all of our guests. Want to thank especially Dylan Kittner, Sarah Wilbur at United Soccer Coaches, and the gang, my producer Colin Thrash. For each and every one of them and all of you, I'm Dean Linke, trying to get my voice back so that I can see you next week for another edition of the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, presented by League Apps.
Thanks for listening to the United Soccer Coaches Podcast, presented by League Apps. League Apps is the leading youth sports management platform, providing organizations with the technology and professional development they need to run, grow, and win. To learn more about League Apps, find them at leagueapps.com or as League Apps on all of the social networks. And to learn more about United Soccer Coaches, visit us at unitedsoccercoaches.org.